able to revisit a lot of these topics going forward, obviously. Especially before we finish up the chorus we discussed, then I want to spend just a couple of minutes. I say we'll have a share tomorrow because I want to get the three in this week. Can we do tomorrow at 10 o'clock? Is that good for everybody? Sounds good? Okay. So tomorrow we'll do, we'll speak about Sher Tzusviona a little bit, and hopefully we'll start also discussing Kinyan and Das, the Kiddushin V'Nisuin. The Kiddushin V'Nisuin topic, as you'll see, is going to overlap with a lot of other things that we're going to discuss, including the definition of Chuppah, you know, the relationship of the two. Basically, the last, the brackets that I have on the bottom of the page kind of highlights that. The relationship between mitzvahs kiddushin and mitzvahs nisuin, or whether, you know, which is the mitzvah, are they the same mitzvah, are they two parts, the relationship between the brachos, the order, you know, various other topics that highlight the relationship between kiddushin and nisuin. We're going to be revisiting those throughout the first parak, certainly through Daf Ches. And I don't want to do all of them in one shot because, again, I want to, you know, go through the dapim. So, you know, a lot of the issues that we are going to be discussing just are not finished topics. We'll supplement them as we move forward. So this week we'll have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Next week also, I mentioned that I'm going away, so we'll have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday next week. So we'll get the regular three Gemara Shiurim. I'm sorry, we'll start the Hashkafa when I come back. And the week after that, I'll be away, but I'll be back on Thursday, and I'm going to try to, if we can arrange it, do at least one share, you know, a Skype share. We'll just have to figure out the technology. So we'll only miss one share the week after, and then after that, we're in regular schedule. Okay, we're also going to be starting, hopefully, on, if we have time tomorrow, if not Thursday, we'll start the small meetings for everybody who's new to get, to get acquainted. And yeah, we'll drop a list how to do that. And are we set on the week 2 weeks from today? Not yet. So we'll hold off on that.
It's going to be 2 weeks.
I'm sorry? I mean 1 week from today. So we don't know about that yet.
Might be pizza party.
What's that?
Might be a pizza party.
There might be pizza a week from today at 12 o'clock. Okay. Those are the announcements. Now we get to the actual topic. Okay. So we've been discussing the relationship... Ksuva, the mandama ksuva daraisa ksuva drabanan, basically idea that we've noted that this is a machlokas already in the Mishnayos, in the Gemara. The Gemara has seemingly cleared afkamina. It's a machlokas that also seems to extend to parshanut. At least the Ramban is very upset with Rashi that he integrates references to ksuva in Parshanut, which the Ramban says you shouldn't do because we pass in ksuva to be drabanan. We were noting that even if Rashi happens to hold ksuva deraisa, and there clearly is a machlokas rishon by the paskin, most rishonim are of the opinion that ksuva is drabanan. Certainly the gonim and the chachmei Sfarad seem to go that route, whereas some of the chachmei Tzarfat do seem to say that ksuva is deraisa. But what we're trying to point out is that in the context where Rashi mentions it, Pilegesh, Mohar Yomarena, etc., the problem isn't only whether it's Drabanan or Daraisa, but the way he treats Ksuva very centrally, even when Kiddushin is an issue, it seems like Ksuva is the key point. And also just the context to completely, what, you know, even if it's factually true that you give somebody Ksuva, Mohar Yomarena Leisha, which is basically telling people that, you know, there's going to be an isha, there's going to be a marriage in the case of a pitui, why would you use the expression give her a ksuva to signify get married? So we were pointing out that even if we can answer the technical question of the Ramban about ksuva being actually daraisa lahalacha, which isn't such a far-fetched idea, we still would have a problem. So at the same time, we noted that the Ramban attacks the Rambam as well in Kadesha, and we noted that there are other Rambams too, namely the Rambam's view of the Asay and the Lav and the Koteret, in which Ksuva is prominent. Not only, again, is it part of the definition, but it's prominent and maybe even primary in terms of Kadesha, in terms of Pilegesh, and Perek Dalet Hilchos Melachim. So basically what we were pointing out is that the Rambam certainly seems to paskin k'suva d'rabbanan when it comes to the nafkaminas of the Gemara, namely Ziburis, Pesach Pasuach Batsasi, Neman, Heimamru, and Bo'os Kaputkia. There is some question about the Rambam's girsa in the Nusach HaLeksuva D'chazin L'chi Midorais. But the Ramban's question in Sefer Mitzvos about Kadesha then is just the tip of the iceberg, basically, in the sense that, you know, if Ksuva's Rabbanan, obviously it's hard to explain these things. And even otherwise, again, you know, why is it so prominent? Why is it the go-to definition? And it's even more problematic if it's Rabban. So what I've been trying to suggest is that, you know, you might say that Gufa, the Machlokas, Ksuva D'Oraisa, Ksuva D'Rabbanan is everything. And you might want to moderate that in both directions. You might say, even if Ksuva is D'Oraisa, right, maybe some of the details are only D'Rabbanan. We'll see that in just a minute. And it's only the concept which is D'Oraisa. And then you have to figure out what halachos are affected by the details and what are affected by the concept. And then you might also say the opposite. You might say that even if Ksuva is D'Rabbanan, maybe all we mean is, or what we mean is the details, but the idea is D'Oraisa. And basically I wanted to connect that to the transition of the Gemara of Knas and Takana, although it doesn't prove what the Takana is, but to suggest this in particular for both Rashi and the Rambam, for the Rambam even though Ksuva D'Rabbanan, that the idea of the role that Ksuva plays is that by ensuring the security and eliminating the casual motif in marriage, that's why making it too difficult to walk away from, that really redefines the relationship between husband and wife by instilling confidence and by demanding that, you know, bumps in the road, if there are any, you know, be worked out. All of these things are part of the strategy of Isha's implied by Ksuva. So Ksuva isn't just narrowly Shalei Teikal Beinav Lotzia when there's an argument, you know, or at a moment's passion or anger, and it's not just about Dinei Mominus either. It's a Dinei Mominus method of projecting Kedushas Ishus, you know, into the entire process. And I think that's what a lot of Rishonim believe, although some of them think that that's only if Ksuva Taraisa, some of them think that that's what we mean when we say Ksuva D'Rabbanan, but, and that's why Mariam Arenon, Pilegesh and Kadeshan, and the mitzvah of Kiddushin, and so on, that's why I think Ksuva is so prominent. So just to add to that just a little bit before we finish up with the Rambams, two things. First of all, just a technical point. I made the suggestion in the printed Tosis that, just as Tosis and Sota says that even Rav Shimon Gamliel doesn't really believe that Ksuva is D'Oraisa, right, that's the one mitzvah, that so too in our Tosis on Daf Yudam and Aleph, maybe there's a difference between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, because Rabbeinu Tam, the way it's read in our printed Tosis, could be saying that the Nusach D'Chosel L'Chim D'Oraisa is based on Rav Shimon Gamliel. We rely on Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Inyan, the Nusach of the Ksuva. It doesn't necessarily say that we paskin the Ksuva is Rabbanan, but I think it was pointed out to me afterwards, and I know this also, but it should be shared, that certainly the way the other Bali Tosis collections quote Rabbeinu Tam, and the way it's quoted by Chachmei Svara, they certainly take the view, some of them just drop the Ri and just have straight Rabbeinu Tam throughout, Vod, certainly Tosis Rashi Mishans. Yeah. About the Rabbeinu Tam, that it's only the...
It's the Rabbanan, it's not Paskin, like just some sort of...
Yeah, yeah. So I remember I saw it. I was trying to find. Do you have the line? And I think I mentioned when I first mentioned that some people interpret that way. I think I meant that. If you could find it, but yeah, okay, good. So I know I'd seen it. So it's a much bigger chiddush, obviously, to read Rabbeinu Tam as saying that, you know, the formulation of the ksuva reflects the idea that there are people who think it's D'Oraisa, you know, than to say that, well, we just hold that shita. Certainly the Ri in the continuation is holding that way. The way the Rash Mishans and the way the Chachmei Sfarad quote Rabbeinu Tam, it's clear that they understood Rabbeinu Tam as simply paskening, like Rav Shimon Gamliel, across the board. And again, the situation of Tosis that we have with the Ri is saying, oh yeah, Pesach Pasuach, you know, we don't pasken that way, and so on and so forth. But it certainly, our reading of Tosis abides the other way. And I thank Eli. Did you find it?
Yeah.
You have it?
Yeah,
go ahead. Okay. So, Yakir, go ahead. Or Ellie. We'll discuss that anyway. That's a different one. So, the Komakov Shaminik Suvadrabanan, right? V'chein Mashra V'isha Rabba, V'kashir Dagu Lichta V'ksuvik D'chazir L'chim V'daraisa. Omer Ben Natan, D'osam B'chinin Rav Shimon Gamliel, etc. V'kayim Elon B'mishnaseinu, V'chein Kasat Tov Z'yesh, you know, but the Lav Mishra, the sphere a little bit, exactly, this is what I was talking about. The Halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel Kasat Kain, El the Parish, D'olam Dagu Lichta V'kayim B'ksuva, K'day L'hakmir B'dinei Aksuva, K'dinei Olam, V'som Chod Rav Shimon Gamliel. Exactly, that's exactly what I was looking for. So I think that is, so just to point out, that's not the majority way that Rabbeinu Tam is understood. The majority way Rabbeinu Tam is understood is that he simply paskens like Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel. We know that, but this is a more mechudash way, and that's how the Shidduch Kabetzus read it. And then the question is, so you know, what is that? What does all that even mean? You know, so what it means is two things. Number one, as we, you know, it's a justification of our Derech HaLimud, you know, no less. Not that we need justification, because you know there are so many justifications that they're not even justifications; they're just reflections. Meaning, even if you don't paskin like certain shittos. The kernel, the principle behind them are things that we often do accept. It's significant that there are such. You have to always, you know, figure out, you know, like the Netziv's famous Hakdama to the Shiltos. You know, there are some machloksim where even though we don't pass in that way, it has what he calls Ora Torah, or what the Rav would call Chefta Shel Torah. There are others where, you know, it's absolute refutation and rejection of a shitas yachid. You have to have, you know, develop an instinct when it's one and when it's the other. Basically, what Shidduch Kabetzus is saying in his reading of Rabbeinu Tam is that we paskin tzuva d'rabbanan, but the fact that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that it's d'oraisa is impressive, and maybe even echoes in our world. I would just add that if it means that the details are d'rabbanan, but the concept, you know, behind it, what you accomplish through ksuva, and why Rav Shimon Gamliel thinks it's d'oraisa, is something that we continue to note and to emphasize, then it justifies, you know, the expression d'chazir l'chi midoraisa as well. But definitely not. That's not the majority view of Rabbeinu Tam. It's mechudash in a way. Then there's the parallel opposite going on between this reading of Rabbeinu Tam and Tosas and Sota's reading of Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel, and basically we're suggesting something, you know, in between for the Rambam. Okay. Anyways, the line of Knas and Takana, you know, may be relevant to that. Regarding the idea of Knas, that's clear. The idea of Knas means you're punishing someone, and usually it has that narrower, interpretation. So just on the narrow perspective, we should also note that in the Sugyan Gittin, on Mem Tesom Adeis, which we'll get to in just a second, like the Mishnah in Gittin, in the beginning of Hanizakin, you know, talks about the question of Beinanis or Idis, Ziburis, you know, when it comes to Gvias Aksuba. So the Gemara on Mem Tesom Adeis elaborates this. We're going to read it inside in just a minute. But at one point, the Gemara says, "V'chi tema ki heichad v'chimapik la ihu takinu l'rabbanan k'suva minei ki nafka ihi nami l'takni l'rabbanan k'suva mina tashma isha yotza l'rtzono v'shala l'rtzono ha'ish enamotzia l'rtzono efshad mashi le'begita." So It's very fascinating that the Gemara had a hava mina that just like, you know, when he divorces her, right, he pays a price, literally, for that. So maybe the same should be true, you know, when she is responsible for the circumstances of the divorce and he should be compensated for. And then the Gemara says that's not true, though, because, you know, he always has the option of continuing in the marriage, since Minat Torah, get is Bal Korcha de Isha, and it's always Beratzon Abba. But this idea that there would be you know, consequences depending on who initiated the divorce, in a way reinforces the Knas perspective, if you will, of Ksuva. He pays, she pays, depending on like who's the victim. It's more either a punishment or kind of, battle compensation, if you will. The question is, l'halacha, does that exist for Ksuva do Rabbanon even? Or it's not knas, it's takana. And takana isn't just, more than a knas. Maybe takana even is the idea of a kiyum in Ishus itself. Anyways, this question of how you look at Ksuva d'oraisa, Ksuva d'rabbanan, whether you look at it primarily in terms of mammon, or in terms of knas, or takana, or even a kiyum in Ishus, etc., could have many consequences, as we're seeing already. And maybe it also affects an issue which the Rishonim discuss on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, which I want to relate to briefly, which we had in the Mar Makomos. Which issue is that? Which issue am I referring to or hinting at? Chaim? Chaim? Well, you could do it by process of elimination in the original Mar Makomos, but, and it is on Daf Yud. Yoshua, right?
Yeah.
Well, Robbie? I said this question of how we look at the ksuva and whether or not, knas, takana, kiyum, and ishus, what role it's playing, etc., can also affect something else that the Rishonim discuss on Daf Yud Amud Aleph. An issue which was on the original Mar Makomos, which I didn't get to yet. Elio. Where's Elio? There he is. We'll get to that also, but another issue. Okay, an issue which you are particularly sensitive to, maybe.
Uh-huh.
Eliyahu, that is.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, what am I talking about?
Me or him?
I don't know. He seems to know your mind better.
He thought perhaps the mefate maybe had was some. Are you maybe referring to the gallant?
Being
retroactively the condition for onus and
the body. No. See, you say multiple things. I pay attention to all of them. He'll say.
The Makor Fiksuva, in the pasuk of Gemara.
No, that we've discussed. We'll get back to it more. Jonathan?
How much Ketubah is related to onus and the body, how much it's in Zikin?
Okay, but in terms of what? In terms of what issue particularly? In terms of what? That we'll get to in a second, but Motzei Mechaber Olav Arai is what I'm looking for. Okay. In other words, right, we had a little discussion about that? That's right. So, but I mean it's as follows. The Gemara here assumes what? Yakir. What does the Gemara here assume? The Gemara says, if you hold Ksuva is Rabbanan, then you could say what? Hey Mamru Behe Mamru, and therefore he will be believed to say Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. And the implication is that otherwise, that if you don't hold Ksuva's Drabanan,
she would
not lose the Ksuva based on his say so. And as Rashi puts it, you need Eidus, etc. Which is another way of saying that what? She's the Muksak, and Motzi Mechavero Olav Haraya. Correct? That's a simple reading of the Gemara. The Rishonim are bothered by that. Correct or not?
Mm-hmm.
What do they ask? Who asks?
Who asks?
Well, Bali Tosa don't ask. Who asks? I said the Rishonim are bothered. Who's the first Rishon that we know that's the bothered? Eliyahu? Ramban. Right, the Ramban and Daf Yud Amud Aleph asks this question, basically. He says, I don't understand. He has to pay the ksuba. It comes out of his bank account, right? So, and he only is obligated to give her a ksuba under what conditions? That she is a basula. Right? So it should be like any other hischaivus that a person undertakes, right? Where if you want money from my account, if you want me to write a check, right? The burden of proof is on you. So we're not sure whether she, there's some question being asked whether she's a basula. And we should say, Motzei Mikarel Olav Araya, let her prove it. What do you mean that we believe him only because Ksuva is Rabban? That's the question that the Ramban asks. And that all the Chachmei Sfarad after him, you know, piled on and asked as well. What's the answer, Jason, that the Ramban gives? Do you see it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, but in general terms, is the assumption accepted? Is it a... He compares it to a hischaivus al tanai. He says, you know, let the other party prove that the tanai was fulfilled and executed, and therefore they deserve the money. Right? Does he go back on that idea? No, you're not sure? Shua? Until I learn the names, it's... I should really... A good way to learn the names. Where did I get the list? Oh, here it is. Mm. Yeah, go ahead. Shua? What?
I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen the Ramban yet. Eliyahu, you saw it? You saw it, we know.
Yeah, I did, but I was too bothered by his formulation. I didn't get his answer.
Okay, so who saw the answer? How did I just lose the list? Oh, you took the list. First he ran away with the list and the whole day. Right? He has this thing about the list. We'll make you a copy. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I would hope that he says that he goes back and says that a kol ksuba is not written on
tonight. Well, I mean, you could hope that, but what is he really saying?
The supposition is in your question.
You want him to reject the assumption.
Yeah.
And say what?
That a ksuba is not written on manas lakonsa, otherwise, because why would you get a ksuba after?
Well, it is. I mean, if she's not a basula, she doesn't deserve a ksuba as masayim. That part is correct, but I hear what you're saying. You're saying, but it's not comparable to a schaivus midas because the Torah, you know, imposes this on you, number one. It's not a condition that you make. That's one difference, right? Okay, you could say, okay, that's just the origin of things, but it's not, that doesn't affect the quality of what we're dealing with. Daron. I don't need a list for Daron, but...
I mean,
do you... You can read it in 1 second. Just tell me first, like, a quick synopsis. What's Ramban's solution? Is he rejecting the assumption, accepting the assumption? What kind of thing is he saying?
Says that she has amigo,
Maybe it's not Kimle, Shemahita. Go ahead, read it quickly. Which is basically means what, though? What's the thrust of what he's saying? In a Hanami, but. Right? In other words, it's true that the real Motzei Mikarel Olav Araya is on her, but her position is also the chazaka that she is a basula, or that he, you know, only thinks but is wrong about what he thinks he saw, is sufficient that in Hilchos Klalei Hachra the proper decision here should still be Motzei Mikarel Olav Araya in the other direction. Correct? Yeah, we read it if you don't mind, just quickly. Right. So it's a little disappointing in the sense that, I mean, this is a very good question. Get very excited about the question. And we have like a glimmer, right, who I think is what Eliyahu was trying to suggest. You know, maybe the assumption of the question is problematic, really. And it's an opening. Maybe we shouldn't be treating ksuva like a hischaivus al tanai. And, you know, I want to say even more, obviously. What I'd like to say is that if this is just a chiyuv mamon, even if it's imposed from without, so, you know, that paradigm is fine. But the more we look at this as an element in Ishos or natural to Ishos, it's still not going to happen, you know, if she's not a basula. But maybe the regular dina mamotz mechavel of araya don't apply here, and or it's counteracted by the chi of itself, you know, being one in which the, you know, creating the security, you know, this this result, you know, kind of overrides that. Maybe, you know, as long as we don't know otherwise, the ishus itself is kind of gorer, you know, a ksuva. That's kind of what we'd like to say. At least I know I would. Right. So when the Ramban doesn't say that, you know, we're a little disappointed. On the other hand, you know, things, you know, start to look up rather quickly. Why, Doron?
There's another answer.
Okay, but the other answer is similar, I think. What's the other answer? Yeah, right. That's just another way. That's a similar answer again to explain that according to Klali Hachra, right? This is all proper. But what I really am interested in, I told you in the Mar Makomos what I said how it was. Gabi, get to call Gabi again. It's been a while. What?
This is the Ramban. The Ramban is the one saying to the Rabbanan, so it's not surprising that he holds that it should work like regular code.
Okay. But who, do anybody disagree with the Ramban or give a different answer? Chaim? Get a chance to see? I think I put it. David? Aaron?
The Ran.
The Ran! So the Ran says what here?
Well, he just says that if she's the one who's responsible for Kavar, she has to make a Raya, then it just makes the whole purpose of the Tumah.
Exactly. So what do you make of that?
Well, he's understanding that it's not just a Yavamon, but it's. He's clearly understanding it's not just a Yavamon.
He's saying you can't just look at this according to normal Kole Hakra and Dine Mamanis, right. Because there's a goal here. Right. Does anybody have the language of the Ran? The goal is shilote kalabein of lahotzia, and if you're just going to be able to get, he says, in a way, it's kind of what the shakla v'tari of the Gemara was when the Gemara said, "Well, im kain, if we believe you, pesach pasuach matzasi, im kain mahoilu chachamim, you know, v'takanasa." So the Gemara answers, "Oh, you know, not so bad, right? Enedam torech besuda mafsida, correct?"
Mm-hmm.
So the Ran says, okay, that's a good answer, but do we really want to rely just on that? If we hold Ksuva to be Daraisa, then we're not going to rely on that Chazaka. But in a way, before he even gets to that, to differentiate what's going on here, he's really brought us in. He's opened up a perspective, which is invaluable. He's basically saying, we don't treat this only as Dine Mamanis, we need to go to the root and the purpose of the Takana. Now, he seems to be saying this, but there's an irony here. One could have said, oh, that's only true if you hold Ksuva to be Daraisa, but if you hold Ksuva to be Drabanan, right, then treat it like Dine Mamanis, like regular Dine Mamanis. And I think that makes a lot of sense. You could say that within the worldview of the Ran. It's not what the Ran says. The Ran himself says, well, this is true, Bain Drabanan, Bain Daraisa, but the thing that you gain from the Drabanan is that we're going to rely, we're going to be so mechan, eredam tarech besuda, umapsida, to neutralize that concern. Right? But otherwise, fundamentally, even if ksuba is only drabanan, you know, we should be treating it, you know, in this fashion. But the irony is that while he could have drawn the line that way and doesn't, and therefore is expanding, he also could have drawn the line in the other way, because what is he quoting to justify all of this in ksuba daraisa, Isaac? Itamar. What's he quoting to justify this whole perspective? Jason. Shalote kalabein of lohotzia. What's he talking about? Shalote kalabein of lohotzia is the takana derabanan. That's not the basis of ksuba daraisa, is it? In other words, again, what's the language up there? That's the Ramban, okay. The Ran, they have the Ran in the Ran al-Rif. Or flat, just read it out of the Ran on the Riff. Who wants to read it? Jonathan, you have it there. You do or don't?
Not yet.
Chazaka
in
Adam.
I mean, in the in the.
Oh, in a real Gemara.
Yeah, the not the virtual Gemara. Ellie, go ahead.
The
He's quoting the Ramban's Kasha, right? And then it says, so the D Lav Kosha, go ahead.
Given East Lak Shuba, Kishvote Kalabin Abosia, Kimata Omer Neman, Bala Dida, Rami Lukure, Piyash Rabal Hibi Raya, Arahi Kalabin Abosia.
Yeah, so you think, when you start reading it, you think, oh, he must be talking about Mandamar Ksuva Drabana. Right, because that's where the Gemara presumably says Shlote Kalabein of Lotzia, right? Right. But remember, then when you think about it as you're reading it, you remember he's trying to explain why, if this would be Doraisa, right? Yeah, keep going. Oh, wow, Benos Yisrael Kehefker already, that's even, Benos Yisrael Kehefker, right? That's, those are, them is strong words, right? You know, like, I was saying, like, you know, Bo Bilas Znus, right? Meaning there's a lot going on here, attitudinally. Yeah, go on. Then he tests to, because he's gone so far, so, you know, maybe the Heimamru, is counterproductive. Go ahead.
You have a suba da raisa, los and kina, high taima, the low beer, equally high.
Which taima? Of Edenum Torachamapsida, right? So we're just left with the Shalote Kalabain of Lahotzia and Benos Yisrael Hefker without enough of a foundation to justify it, right? Wow, that's what Ksuva da raisa means. Nice. Okay, keep going. On the other hand, if you hold to the Drabanan, here's one more line, right? Right. Excellent. So then basically what I'm saying is you could have gone, you could have said Ksuva Zoraisa has nothing to do with Shlote, you know, Kalabein of Lahotzia. It's all just pure Dine Mamadis, and it's much worse of a problem. And that's what the Ramban really holds, hard to know. Or you could have said, this whole idea, you know, as if Ksuva's Doraisa, so then it's about Benos Yisrael Hefker and other things, you know, but not if Ksuva's Dorbanon. So the Ran is taking stands on all of this, but what it opens up in is the possibility in general that maybe when it comes to matters of Ksuva, right, we, for these reasons, should be looking, you know, at it differently. So in general, again, we're going to encounter this, especially when we get to Daftes, but that's quite a while away. But, you know, probably come up before that too. But, you know, the issue arises whenever you have something to do with Ksuva, you know, is it Motzim Mechaver all of Haraya, Gviyas HaKsuva, any issue connected to Gviyas HaKsuva. So this is a broader question in Shtaros, right? In general, you know, Sveika, Rov, you know, should these apply when you're being Motzi Mamon? So the Achronim and Daf Tesam and Aleph, Tesam and Beis, you know, discusses about Tzvek Tzveka, about Ro, what happened, Ein Olcha B'mobin Acharo, Motzi Mechavero, Olav Arai. So in general, we'll talk about it when we talk about it, but just, you know, very, very broadly speaking, anything where there's a shtar might be different than in Dine Mamonis or in being Motzi Mamon than when there's no shtar. Right? Talked about in Bava Metzia a couple years ago, right? Some of the Rishonim already, the Ramban and the Tshuva, and then it got picked up by the Ksos and the Shev Shmaitza, right? This idea that, you know, according to Beis Shammai, Shtar HaOmed Likvos is Kegavu Idami, we don't paskin like that, because again, another great example. We don't paskin like Beis Shammai, but, you know, some of the Rishonim and certainly the Ksos, you know, went to town on this. Quote Beis Shammai, as if to say, well, we don't paskin the fullness of Beis Shammai, but when there's a shtar, you know, we don't treat it as a regular Motzi Mechaver Olav Arai for all things. You have to figure out what yes and what not. Both Motzi Mechaver Olav Arai, the issue comes up, and where else does it come up? About Metzia people, or about Basra people, or right? Migu, right? Because according to the Bali Tosas who say that we don't hold Migu Lahotzi, Ramban disagrees, but if you hold, we don't believe in Migu Lahotzi, so doesn't make a difference when there's a shtar. Right? So this is a big issue. It comes up a few other contexts as well. So that's one question. Maybe shtar is shtar because holding the shtar being maksik the koach hashtar, or there's already shibudim. What do we mean by it exactly? Oh, what about ksuva? Is ksuva treated as a regular shtar when it comes to motzim chaver alav araya issues? Or better or worse? The pashtus should think the same, right? But there's a case to be made, and this is what we'll get back to, for being better and for being worse. The case for it being stronger, meaning more muchsak, is exactly this idea. That the purpose of the ksuva is an ishus. It's expressed in mamon, but it's a kiyum an ishus, and it's part of the, not extraneous to, but you know, coinciding with, but it's part of the ishus itself. You know, it's like kind of like a suffix iser, or part of the hagdara. This also, and therefore, what you might say is kind of what we're saying here, and that is that it defies some of the normal rules of safek and motzi and maksik, and so on. I should add that there's also a reason to think the opposite about the ksuva, and that's very crucial too. Why is there a reason to think the opposite about the ksuva? Yosef?
Because if it's just his personal responsibility as a husband, then it's not as if she's not saying anything yet. It's something he has to give to her.
Oh, excellent. In other words, a regular chov that you owe somebody is almost always triggered by matan mos. It's a quid pro quo. It's an exchange. I give you $100. You owe me $100, right? And you know, now the question is, you know, to assess if there's some sort of suffix, you know, who's maksik, who's motzi, etc. In the case of the ksuva, right, ksuva lo nitna ligavos mechayin, right, the ksuva is only advent of divorce, right, or death. And on the surface, there's no quid pro quo. Again, if you hold like the formulation, or we'll get back to it a little bit later, of the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos, I'm sorry, in Mor Nebuchim, which also appears in the Tshuva, we'll discuss that when we get a chance, Shin Samachay, so you might even look at the Ksuva as a kind of, you know, Pitsuya, as kind of a, you know, in lieu of, you know, giving up her status as a Pasula, you know, kind of a, you know, compensation, you know, a little bit of a quid pro quo. But Pashtus, right, Ksuva is not, you know, a quid pro quo at all. So in that sense, it's a more amorphous kind of chiyuv, right? There's no shibud aguf. In a way, that's a little bit what Tosfos in the beginning of Afalpi and the Rush in the beginning of Afalpi are struggling with. How do you generate a shibudim on a ksuva, you know, when there's not really any shibud aguf at the moment? What do the words mean? Ksuva lo nitna ligavos mechayin. So we'll be talking about that, especially when we get around Daf Tes and Daf Yud. But it's important for now because of this this question. And I think the basic point we're trying to make, Chaim has a line in the stencils, where he says a chiyuv, the ksuva is not a chiyuv, and it's also not a dover shel bali olam, it's a chiyuv lehitchayev. Okay. Which is nice. Okay. It doesn't help us like so much in terms of defining what it is, but it captures the ambiguity, you know, in a way it's more concrete, right? Because the chiyuv now of what will happen if, it's both less and more concrete at the same time. It's part of the ishus, right, and it plays a role, even as it's not really, according to most perspectives, you know, part of the quid pro quo, and therefore it's totally future-oriented, in a way. So with regard to our question here on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, you know, what is, who is you know, motzi mechver alav araya, when the husband is trying to neutralize the obligation of ksuva, right, the discussion of the Ramban and the Ran becomes relevant, and that becomes, I think, an additional expression, both for ksuva d'araisa and ksuva d'rabanan, of the issues that we've been exploring. Okay, so that is, that's as far as that is concerned. Well, okay, let's move more quickly to the rest of it. That's motzi mechver alav araya. And I say, well, we'll encounter this other times. There are other explanations why ksuva may be treated differently than the normal motzi mechver alav araya, especially to answer the sugyas on daf tes. I should just mention, because of Tanai ksuva, medrash chachamim, as they call it, or because since without a ksuva, there's an isur isha labala. So one might be dependent upon the other. That's the famous view of the Shach in his Sefer Tokva Kohen. So there are other, but again, some of these are independent points, and some of them, whether intended or not, kind of support or reinforce the idea that we're talking about, which is the mumminess in Ishus, and especially in Ksuva, isn't always extraneous mumminess. Right? It's it may be less than that in mumminess, and more than that, you know, because it's also an integral part of the issues. Okay. So that's one issue in terms of the Sugya Daf Yud. The other issues in terms of the Sugya Daf Yud are the two other Nafka Mina that are spoken of there. Not just the Nemanus. Okay, before we get to that, one final point, excuse me. And that is the point of the Gaonim in this light. I didn't give you that specifically to look up, but if you read the Rambam, it's already there. What's the point of the Gaonim? Regarding the Nemanus of Lomar Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, right, Heimamru Veheimamru. Right, so the Gaonim, quoted by the Rif, quoted by the Rambam, quoted by many Rishonim, have a comment. What's the comment? Kevin? See it? Toby? Robbie? No. That will leave for now. That's not our. Right. Although it might be relevant too, but I don't want to get too. Yehuda, you want to say something?
That she still has the Tosefes?
Correct. What about Tosefes Ksuva? What about a case where the Ksuva, right, was inflated to include the Tosefes Ksuva? Are you neman in the Tosefes Ksuva to say Pesach Pasuach Matzasi based on the Heimamru Heimamru, right? Or not? So the Gonim say, the Rif quotes these Gonim already, right? And then the Rambam does, and many, many, many Chachmei Sfarad, that the Tosefes is his Chaibus Midas, right? And it doesn't come under the rubric of Heimamru Heimamru. It's treated like any other Ischaibus. And any other Ischaibus here, right, we'd say Motzi Mechver Alav Araya, presumably for the Ramban's reasons. Right? That's the view. However, in light of the Ran, right, the Ran doesn't disagree either, but I think there obviously are two issues to consider here. Chaim, you want to say something? Or you were, you know, trying to buy painting? Okay. So, obviously there are two issues here. One is the issue of Tosefes Ksuva, which we touched on in the Mishnah, which we're going to get back to in a minute, on Nun Dalet on the base. Right? So what do we say Tosefes Ksuva is Ksuva? When is it, when isn't it? Right? Even in the writing of the Ksuva, do you always mention the Ikar Ksuva and then the Tosefes, or do you just write it all as one sum? Right? And when can you actually be mechalek? I mean, the Rambam says Tosefes Ksuvas Ksuva, and then he tells you, but there are some exceptions. According to the Gonim, this is one of the exceptions. Okay, so that's one issue. Right? To what extent, and how do we understand Tosefes Ksuva Ksuva? It could be that issue itself depends on our issue, meaning how we look at the Ksuva and how therefore integratable it is. Not necessarily. Even if it's an Ishus issue, you could say the money is flexible and so on. Okay, but that's one issue. The second issue is the issue we're talking about here, which is, if everything depends on you know, objective klalei hachra, like the Ramban is saying, according to both answers, so then, you know, you have to treat Tosefes like Ksuba Daraisa, essentially. But, let's say, you go in the direction of the Ran. So what you might say is that the, you know, the issue is that if Ksuba is Daraisa, as we've said, so then we don't apply the regular din of Motzim Mekabel Levaraya, because the din of the Yishus, the goal of, right, Shalitei Kalabin of Lahotzia is driving it, and that isn't just a technicality, Shalitei Ibnos Hafker either. I'm saying it's more than that. It's just, maybe it's in a way Safek Iser, almost the way the Shach said it, although he meant it in a more technical way. So once that's true, so then you might say, well, Tosefes is kind of a really interesting situation, because the Mamon, right, is Doraisa, right? But if you don't hold Tosefes as Ki'ikar, you know, fully, so then it doesn't have this whole connotation. Mm-hmm. Right? And if it doesn't have the whole connotation, so then maybe you should just treat it, you know, as a T'nai B'Alma, right? And let her prove that she fulfills the conditions of the T'nai so she can get her Tosefes, you know, Ksuva. The Ran himself doesn't make the distinction. There are those who disagree with the Gonim, where they disagree because, ironically, because Tosefes is always Kih in a fully integrated way, or because of this reasoning, I don't know, but at least that's something to think about. Okay. The other two Nafkamina in the Gemara here are the question of Ziburis, right, and the question of Kesef Kaputkia and Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so let's take just expand on these just a little bit. The Pashtus, as we discussed, the Gemara says on both on Daf Yud and Daf Kuf Yud that the question of most Kaputkia, most Eretz Yisrael depends on Ksuba Daraisa and Rabbanan, and also the Pashtus, the Sugya Daf Yud, whether it's Ziburis or not depends on Ksuba Daraisa or Rabbanan. Okay, so let's take each one just for a minute. Question of Kaputkia and Eretz Yisrael raises, of course, very important questions. Two important questions. One is, you know, what really is a nafkamina? Right, as we already noted. Meaning, is this a difference in price or in convenience? Or is it an obvious difference in price? Or just, you know, differences in currencies have subtle differences, right, in terms of immediacy of ownership of price and value? What are we talking about? Are we talking about receiving payment in a certain kind of coin, or are we talking about a different amount? We're talking about 200 shkalim versus 200 euros versus $200, pesos, whatever, Deutsche Marks or whatever it is, or are we talking about, you know, just receiving whatever that single agreed upon sum is, but in a more inconvenient currency? And there are, again, possibly both in terms of convenience and possibly even financially, but obviously, you know, it has to do with the immediate trade-in or the timing or fees or whatever it is. What are we talking about? That's issue number one. Issue number two is how does that whole discussion anyway fit in with another problem? Yonatan, which problem? How could you even have this discussion about, you know, euros and dollars and kaputkayin, dinars and Eretz Yisrael shkalim or liras? The whole thing seems strange. Why? Why does it all seem strange? Or at least according to the Mandamar Ksuba Daraisa, it seems strange. Right? Why?
It should be
Kemora Besulos. Right? The Gemara says in Daf Yud Amud Aleph, Kemora Besulos, Onus Mafata is a fixed amount. It's Shkalim, what we call Kesef Tzuri. So Kesef Tzuri should seem to be defining the whole thing. That is the problem that bothered some of the Rishon. Right? The apparent stira between the sugya of Mos Kaputka and Mos Eretz Yisrael in the end of the Masechta and the sugya here in Dav Yud, which seems to say that, you know, if you hold Ksuvah D'Oraisa, so we're talking about something comparable to onus. Again, if you say that the amount is the same and it's a question of the currency, so that attenuates the problem somewhat, no question. But, you know, then the question of the Nav Gemina becomes a little bit more difficult to swallow. And that's it again, it's convenience or the smaller amounts of currency transfer, you know, and so on, which again, you know, people make millions of dollars every day on currency transfer issues. If your volume is big enough, apparently, you know, that can happen. But, you know, we're not talking about that kind of volume here, so it's strange that that would be, you know, the crux of the machlokas. Anyways, the Rishonim weigh in on this question. You can see how it's a problem. Yerushalmi, there's these two Bavlis, there's the Yerushalmi, and there is a Tosefta. There's a big discussion about this issue. Oh, so what does Tosefta Daf Yud Amud Aleph say, Yaakov? Go ahead. No sein la mimos kaputkia.
Right?
Yeah.
Kemilari. Marevachu la shenosin la mimos almos. Mikol makom einu nosin la ela shavet nun shkalin.
So the assumption is that it's kesef tzuri, and we take the limud literally. And then the question is, so what's the fuss about? Okay, go
ahead.
Meaning, the quantity of the number of coins is the same, but the value is hugely different. Of course, you just... Then, of course, you'd understand. Go ahead, have a nicha. Yeah. Of course, the problem with that is, well, that would make total sense what they're arguing about, but the problem with it is, what do you do with Kesef Tzuri? I mean, what do you do with the comparison to Ones in our sugya? A. B, there's another huge problem, and that is, can you say that Ksuvah D'Oraisa and it's irrelevant what the value is? Well, we'll get to that in a second, but we're doing things in order, right? Well, he didn't say it's irrelevant, but exactly. We'll see in a minute that Ramban is a slightly different solution, but agreed that his solution is relevant here. But what I'm saying is, you know, different systems of different economic systems are going to have different, you know, values. So the number, the magic number is 200? Right, irrespective of 200, what? How could that even be? Never mind the Tsuri problem, which is a problem. Yeah, you have an answer to that, or you want to?
First of all, would it be 200 or 50?
Okay.
Second of all, isn't Kidron Avender at this? Can we say the same?
Okay, that's what kind of
that's
what the
comparison.
Gemara
is. That's the comparison. Pigeon Abend, right? So okay. Maybe Pigeon Abend. Why can't
right, except that Pigeon Abend, good, so that's a great example.
Doesn't have
so what's the answer in Pigeon Abend?
Doesn't have the explicit limit of Chamishim Kesef Tzuri.
Number one, doesn't have explicit care. That answers that part of it. But in terms of the more, you know, conceptual question I'm asking, put it this way, do you look at Pigeon Abend as a formal requirement, you know, something symbolic? Or do you look at it as the substance, the amount being relevant? Right, that's a great example.
You say the same thing here. Is it the formal? Maybe it is the formal.
Oh, so that's what I want to get to. Right. Sometimes we make statements and sometimes we ask questions to elicit answers. But right, meaning what I'm trying to say is, if it was about the amount of the money, you know, per se, then the idea that you can have a doraisa which depends on range is strange. But now it's also true. I mean, you go, you know, in Italy, I don't know what the situation is these days, you know, but when I lived, you know, all those years in Italy, so like, you know, like every few months, you know, you'd have to have like, oh, you like you want to buy some, you know, chocolate bar in the local, you know, what's a local Italian store? Bodega? No. That's Spanish. Whatever it is. So the, you know, so you have to like carry, you know, you have to get another cartload of, you know, of lira, basically. You know, another 20,000 lira for your chocolate bar. So there are, meaning, obviously, you know, there are economic systems that are very unhealthy. Used to be the lira, you know, in Israel, it became that. So they went to shkalim, you know, and then they went to shekel chadash. You know, you reach a point, you know, where the you know, the quantities just are completely, you know, out of line. It's not usable anymore. That's why stocks also, and when you list a stock, you know, the people, you know, sometimes the companies, they you know, they change the pricing, you know, mechanisms, because, you know, to buy Apple stock, you're going to pay $1,000 a share. You know, it reaches a point, so they say, oh, you know, we're doing a 10-to-1 or 1-to-10 split or whatever the proper, you know, thing is, meaning to bring it back into law. The point is that in general terms, numbers are not completely off. Like, you know, 1 usually means something, 100 usually means something. I'm just speculating. So in a way, when we say we don't care about the actual value, but we care about the number, like in Pigeon of Ben, possibly, what we're saying is the substance isn't what's important here. It's kind of the general, you know, idea. It's a symbolic statement, like a certain, you know, minima. You know, a certain, you know, level within the currency. You know, 5, 10, you know, round numbers, you know, are, well, 5 is 1/2 of 10. But the point is that the numbers, it also depends how you do your gematrias, right? But the what I'm trying to say is it's the general role and stature, you know, rather than the specific amount or sum, you know, that you're talking about. But that's important to know. Okay, let's continue for a minute.
That could take the wind out of Tsuba, though.
What?
That could take the wind out of Takanas Chachamim, though.
So that's a question. Depends. So if the Takanas Chachamim is really, you know, pragmatic, like how much money do you have to lose or be about to lose to protect the interests of the Isha, so you would certainly think that, you know, either as a proportion or as an amount, you know, that would be very important. If it's more a symbol of, you don't walk away from marriage, you know, with nothing. And, you know, the dine mamonis in Ishus isn't just dine mamonis, teidalacha. Right, the dine mamonis in the context of Ishus is also about kedusha and Ishus. Right, so then, you know, the specifics, as long as you're not totally out of whack,
right,
you know, are much more,
depends,
much more flexible. What
depends on the going rate for a chocolate bar.
Exactly. Right. That's the what I was trying to say about the going rate of the chocolate. That sometimes things can just be completely crazy, and then that's what we're talking about. You know, we're talking about, you know, where there is, it could be that $200 and €200 are different. They are. They're different. But they're not so insanely, you know, out of correlation that they don't, you know, represent. If I say, oh, it costs €200, you don't have to really do the conversion, you know, completely. If it's very specific, oh, is it worth it now? Mm-hmm. But if you want to know what kind of, you know, a car, you know, is going to cost, whatever it is, you know, $25,000 or $30,000, and it's going to cost, you know, €20,000, you know, whatever. You understand what I'm saying? It's not going to cost €200,000, you know, euro and you know, $15,000. You get the basic idea. Okay. Let's continue for a moment. Go ahead.
Miu inera de hasang shows sifu b'chol makom was sifu about shem sifu b'makom echad einish b'kach tishan and mida deraisa.
He's also bothered by this, right? Go ahead. Miu.
Maybe Rishalmi with the Pirkin, Garcina and Asnisin, the Ksuva Masayim, Rabbi Muna Bashem Shmuel, Omar Bashekla Kodesh, Rabbi Abba Barbuna, Omar Matbea Yotze. The Chayim Maske Asam.
So basically, Tosas is throwing around this issue. They're really not sure, you know, what exactly it is. Is it about the currency? Is it really about the amount? And that's a very big Kiddush, and the comparison to Pidgin Aben becomes very significant. Okay. What does that's the view of Tosas. What is the view of the Ramban? You mentioned the Ramban. So the Ramban in Kuf Yud, right, tackles this question very forthrightly. You have the language question? Or anybody have it open? Who has it? Ellie, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's asking the question straight. Kamora Basulos. It has a very specific meaning. It's Kesef Tzuri. Go ahead. How can we talking here about Kaputkia in Eretz Yisrael? Go ahead. Oh, so now the Ramban came up with a major, major chiddush. Even though the Ramban was the hardliner till now, who was saying, you know, ksuvah d'oraisa, ksuvah d'rabbanan, it's a, you know, it's a chiyuv. Nothing that contradicts anything that we've been saying. He's just been saying, in terms of parshanut, in terms of, you know, hagdaros, d'oraisa, you can't operate that with ksuvah being d'rabbanan. But now the Ramban weighs in, what if you hold ksuvah d'oraisa? So he's not saying what the Tosin Sota says, right? He thinks Rav Shem Gamliel really believes ksuvah to be d'oraisa. But he says, Kemor Abasulos is a limud, and it's not a limud. It doesn't mean that we equate the ksuva with Dmei, you know, knas. Right? Unlike, let's say, that Ramam and Mor Nevuchim and so on. So what is he saying? The fact that the Torah uses the expression mohar, right, doesn't mean that it's the same amount, but the Torah, by invoking something that relates to Ishus, some money, you know, motif, in Ishus, right, is that's relevant here. Okay, but how does it actually play out then? This is a huge chiddush, but you have to have a lot of conviction for what the Ramban is saying. But it also solves a lot of these problems. Go ahead, keep going. Hey, read that line again. Go back, wait for it, just that last line again, so that everybody will catch it again. Vilav Milsa, go ahead. Vilav, what is it? Vilav Milsa.
Vilav Milsa, there's five. Glaukikesef kind of stammer.
It's not that amount, but it's the concept. Basically, he's saying this idea by the fact that there's a language of Mohar, so there's a yesod of Mohar in Ishus. Right? Keep going. Whoa, so what do you think of the first Teda? We're going to get to that in just a minute. An obvious Teda? A universally accepted Teda? Ellie?
I haven't really seen other Rishonim
on this again. So let's say just Bali Tosis and just Pashtus. What's a Pashtus of the Gemara? Yeah? Oh, you're also just buying the thing? Yeah?
It's not so obvious, especially because like Rebbe Meir holds that it's in Benoni.
Okay.
And
okay, good. Benoni Ziburis. But what they hold to the Raisa?
Sounds like
the Madamar said Darabana. Yeah, right, is only according to Madamar Ksuva as being Drabana. Says it's Ziburis. The implication of our Gemara is what? That if it was Ksuva d'oraisa, what would be the halakha? What Tosa says explicitly, right? Just look at the Tosa. We'll go back to it in just a minute. Read the Tosas, Hovatakanus Chachamimi Lo Tigve. Right? Here on Daf Yudam and Aleph. And the same Tosas, well, a different answer, but the same general idea Tosas in Gittin Mem Chesom at Beis. Right? You have it there, Gali? Go ahead. Hanizakin,
right?
He's asking, I don't understand. Right? It should be, if it's Ksuva d'oraisa, it should be Be'idis, not Be'inonis. Or Doraisa Beziburis. The Asya, Tachas Nesina, Yishalem. But he's not bothered by the fact, Doraisa. He's bothered by the Drabanan, actually. He's saying, if Doraisa, it's Idis, why did they change that even with Drabanan? Bamayif Kiyu, Dina. Ba'od lo mishtamet tana b'shumakom di islek suvas isha metaltalin, El Rabbi Meir. And if you hold Idis, then Metalplin should be okay too, right? Kidam Rinan. Hamani Rabnei, go ahead.
Kidam Rinan,
Amani or Meir, he the Amar Metatu Mishtabi Luxua. Oman the Amar Doresa, Milo Gabi Mimetatu, Kimoni Dakin, Kivan, the Mahasam Yotinan.
Kishlomar?
Kishlomar, the time I shall leave for Shimihan Benayadam, you meet for Lunkor Idis.
So Tosis basically asking, like, you know, what's going on here? Their answers, their questions only on a Drabanan level, their answers on a Drabanan level. The Drabanan, even if you're Suvid Araisa, it's better to go that way. What did Tosis say in Gittin? Right? Fundamentally the same. Just the answer is a little bit different. Shukhina, what does he have there? Right, Ksuva Sisha Biziburis, Bigmar Mfarish Tan Mushum Yosu Masha Isha Rotsa Lisa Isha Rotsa Ilisa Isha Rotsa Linase, right? Akasha, Lamanda, Ksuva Daraisa, the old Parakamadi Ksuvis, Mikamor Abasulos, Shizek Kamor Abasulos and Marbasulos Kazan, Daraisa Dinabidis, Mamaikyu Hakomim Dina Bahai Taima, Rabir Nami Dumber Dina Ziburis, Ksuva Ksuva Daraisa, Ishlomar, the Tamadifkyu. She'll annoy him. She'll get the idis. Right, it's a different answer, but it's the same shita, which is that midaraisa inachanami midrabanan. No. What did the Ramban notice, though? There's no Gemara anywhere ever says that Ksuva is Be'idis. In the Mishnah, it's a discussion of Beinonis and Ziburis. In the Gemara, in Mem Tesla Beis and Gittin, it's also Ziburis and Beinonis. Mandakar Shemei of Ziburis. So the Ramban thinks that that's a raya, that even if you hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that Ksuva is Daraisa, that it's not Be'idis. What does that prove? That Kemor Abasula, the equation to Ones, right? Even if you hold Ksuva Daraisa, it's Lavdafka. So at this point, the Ramban is saying, yeah, because you can learn from the fact that there's Mohar and that expression, right, without learning that the details are the same. Keep going. Then he has another line. Or did we say it already? I think, right? Go ahead, Ali. Oh, so now he's saying the other point. This explains, you know, why the Gemara never mentions Idis, even according to the Mandamar Doraisa, right? And he's assuming that Doraisa, it isn't the Idis against the Balitosis. And it also explains the Tsuri problem. Go ahead. In that, what? It isn't Tsuri. Because Onis is Tsuri, but Ksuva is not. Keep going. Now there's where he goes a little further than everybody else. Keep going. What did you say? Asmachta drabana. What was the next words?
Derabanani, that the hasam kukatani. The afagab, the ksubas isha, minatorak amar, halakhala moshmisina, kimoshar torah shakal tek amar.
Ah, that's key. That's something that the Ramban, as far as I know, is unique. The Ramban says it has even a suggestion that the limud isn't a real limud, and that Ksuva Daraisa is Torah Shebaal Peh. The Rajba and the, let's say, Rabbeinu Kreskes on Daf Yudam and Aleph, who don't quote the Ramban, but basically are quoting the Ramban, and the Rishonim and Gittin also, the Rajba, the Ritva, they don't quote that part of it. They quote the rest of it. They just don't quote Ad Kedei Kach that it's Torah Shebaal Peh. They like the first formulation, and that is that the word Mohar, even if it isn't the exact amount, signifies Ksuva Daraisa. But what emerges from the Ramban, both about Tsuri and Ziburis, according to Mark Ksuva Daraisa, is a very flexible view of what Ksuva Daraisa means. And basically he says explicitly that what? That it's whatever the agreement is. Meaning the principle is that there be a monetary component which keeps things honest. But what the detail, how much that is, in terms of quantity. Again, he's not saying, so you have three basic views. There's one view is that it's kesef, if you hold Ksuva Daraisa, it's kesef tsuri. So what's kaputka, Eretz Yisrael, etc.? That's about currency, which is about either convenience or some small financial, you know, significance, right? Inami, or, right, what you gain from even the pasuk, that's very radical in my opinion, is the quantity. But let's assume that because of the quantities of any, you know, a monetary system, have like a general, you know, meaning or significance. You know, 1, 10, 100, 200. You know, notwithstanding the specific value, etc. That to me is a big chiddush in ksuva. But that's the second, you know, option or possibility. And the Ramban is saying, the Ramban and the Imei are saying, that even if you hold, that there are two levels here. One is, even if you hold that the makar is gemara besulos, and the connection between onus is a real connection, it's not koveya regarding the quantity or the quality of currency, or, according to the Ramban, the quality of gevia, meaning idis and ziburis. All that is tiknu chachamim. That's a very flexible view. Now, Jason pointed out to me last time that Rabbeinu Kreskes has that. That's where he gets it from. Has that? Do you have language? Do you have it? But it's just look it up. On Daf Yud Amud Aleph. And the Rajba also has it on Yud Amud Aleph. This idea that even if you hold Ksuvah D'Oraisa, right, all the details are Drabanan. Do you have it? Go ahead.
Yes.
Will come on
Kavasi
Aleph,
command Amar Drabanan.
That's the Mikantav, correct. So that's what the Rajba also quotes, and that's really, it's all Noveya from this Ramban. The Ramban is in two places, on Daf Kuf Yud, on Beis and Ksuvis, and also in Gittin, on Mem Chesu and Beis. It's exactly the same thing. Without this there, the only time that he mentions the Torah Shabbat Peh, and that the makar is an asmachta legamri, that possibility, that more extreme, that he says in Ksuvas Kufir, that he doesn't say in Gittin. But again, that it depends on Ratzon and Askama, and that it's Noveya from Basul. Anybody have language in Gittin?
Ela Mishum, Daka Rachmanam, Lilshon Mohar, Sankul Chachamim, Sheish Mohar, Lubitulot, Bahainu Ketuba, Elish in Loshi, or Vikolachad Kotev Kirtsono, Vichachamim Tiknu Me'atayim.
Exactly. So that's the that is the Ramban's perspective. Now, again, the other side of it, just to fill out the picture. So Tosas on Samech Zayin Amud Aleph in Ksuvas also weighs in on the Tzuri the Tzuri Medina question, Kaputka question, and says what, Isaac? Do you get a chance to see it? Even if you hold Ksuva de Rabbanan, go ahead if you have language just for a second. Yeah, so that's fascinating. In the other way, I mean, the Ramban says even if it's Doraisa, it's not Kesef Tzuri, and the Ramban and the Tosas and Samach Zayin Amud Aleph says even if it's Drabanan, even if it's Drabanan, it is Kesef Tzuri, and that's kind of what the Rosh was saying as well, right? And Daf Yud Amud Aleph, he was trying to explain the Chazi Lachim Doraisa. The Rosh says, really, Ksuvas Drabanan, when we say L'chazel L'chim Midaraisa, we mean Kesef Tzuri, even according to that Mandamar. So I just, I also put on the supplementary Mar Makomos that the Orchis Chaim also quotes that the Chachmei Tzfarad have these views, and he quotes it as a debate between the Ravid and Rabbeinu Yonah, that the Ravid said that when you write L'chazel L'chim Midaraisa, so then it's Kesef Tzuri. But if you don't, then the Kesef Medina. Whereas Rabbeinu Yonah said, like the Rush and like that Tosis, that even if you don't write it, it's Kesef Tzuri. Right. So Agav, it's just interesting to note, the Ramban, who clearly doesn't, you know, accept all these this whole idea, So he says that Chazal L'chimid Araisa is a wrong Nusach, because we hold Ksuvah D'Rabbanan, in other words. And again, he's not sympathetic with, even doesn't require Tzuri even according to the other Mandama, even according to Mandama Ksuvah D'Araisa. So he says it's a Tos and it's Mevatel or Posel L'Ksuvah. Pretty scary. The Ritva, anybody see the Ritva in the name of Rabbeinu Pinchas?
Yeah.
You have it?
Not,
oh, you're not? What does he say? Rabbeinu Pinchas was the other, you know, that's the brother of the Ra.
Isn't he the one who says that you pay the amount, you pay the size direct and not, you're trying, obviously trying to strengthen the ketubah, so it can't be that it's really saying deraita. That must be just wants to pay as if it was deraita, basically.
Yeah, correct. So he doesn't think it's posel at all. If anything, it enhances and strengthens the ketubah. Interestingly enough, the Sefer HaMikzot, which I found in the Kamai, has a shita that says that even almana you should say dechazim lachi midaraisa, because kol tikkun kein daraisa tikkun. Which is fascinating, because all the entire discussion that we're having about ksuba, daraisa, drabanan, you know, the qualifications on both sides, you know, the mandamar drabanan, but maybe they're daraisa, you know, yesod, the mandamar daraisa, but maybe the pratim are drabanan, all these things that we have. So what about almana in all of this? Right? Is the ksuba of almana just financial, or, you know, is that qualitatively different than the ksuba of besula, according to both mandamrim? Right, if you hold ksuvah d'araisa, that's certainly only drabanan, or maybe even if ksuvah besula is drabanan, is there still a difference between besula and almana? So the idea that you would say dechazi lechi midaraisa in almana, you know, and because kein daraisa tikkun is it's true generally kein daraisa tikkun, but you might have said these are two different concepts of ksuvah. So that's interesting. That's interesting as well. In terms of Ziburis and Idis, just give me one more minute on that. So basically we have the Mishnah in Gittin, Mem Chesim Beis, the Gemara, basically the Gemara Daf Yud, the Bale Tosis. I mentioned the Gemara's idea that there could be a kind of a Knas in the other direction. And then we have the two Rambans and the other Rishonim. And the other Rishonim as well. Again, if you look at Ksuva as a pure Chi of Daraisa, but as a kind of Balchov, then anyway, Dvar Torah, that should have been possibly Beziburis. So that's an interesting paradigm, too. Ksuvah D'Araisa is Balchov, or Ksuvah D'Araisa is like Ones Umefate. And there's some discussion also, I mean, the Ramban seems to say that even if you hold Ksuvah D'Araisa, it's going to be Beziburis, and the whole sugya, maybe in Ksuvah Staf Yudam and Aleph, is discussing the Drabanan issue. Whereas the Rajba and others say, you know, maybe at least it'll be Beinonis and not Ziburis to differentiate it from the Sugya Nafir Amnab. So that's an issue as well. Okay. Our time is almost up. I'll have to finish this tomorrow. But let me just mention one other thing. And that is, it's very, this Itamar brought to my attention, that if you look at some of the formularies of the of Shtaros, it's interesting to note that the in Sefer Ashtaros of the Re Bartzaloni, which is like the most famous one, but I've seen the Itur copied it as well, got a lot of press. There seems to be like an overlap, you know, between Shtari Erison and Shtari Ksuva. And then I found subsequently that there's an interesting tshuva of Rashi, you know, on this as well. In other words, the Re Bartzaloni says, my Shtar Erison, what's a Shtar Erison? And then he says, well, there was this formulary that said that Shtar Erison was the person writing of his commitment, you know, to be Mischayev to the Ksuva, to the Isha. Do you have the language, Tamar, you have it? For the page 222 or something.
228?
No. That's
228.
Now close.
Now close.
Tonis Patloni, Lahavi Biada, Luzahi, Mahma, Shekavati, Alai, Meaksha, Pinim Gamar, Mikhtav, Lab, Mikhtav, Vishas, Nasu, and Kapi, Zubi, the Hadalam, the Rice, and also Lab, Matana, Kaki,
Kaki, Kaki,
Kaki, Kaki, Kaki, Kaki, Kaki, Kaki, Kaki, Kaki, Kaki, Kaki,
So he says that's not a Shtar Erisin. A Shtar Erisin is what the Gemara talks about in Kedushin Daf Tes, you know, where he says, Arat Mekudeshesli, you know, in a Shtar, right? But the truth is, it got copied a lot. I say the Itur has it, other people have it. So it's just very strange. Why would anybody think that a Shtar Erisin, a Shtar Kedushin, was writing that you're going to prepare a Ksuva? Right?
Also, the first Nosach is.
Just the Shtar Ksuva.
Right.
Yeah, they're different ones. And then there's an interesting, fascinating Tshuva of Rashi. Anybody get a chance to look at it? I get it was in the supplementary list today, just very quickly. Somebody got a chance? What did it say?
Talked about whether or not we need the Eidei Kedushin to sign on to the
Yeah, who signs the Ksuva? So there was this, Rashi says that there used to be this practice that the Eidei Kedushin would sign the Ksuva, not the Eidim who were the Eidim on the Kinyan of the Shibud of the Ksuva. And Rashi says, I don't know why they're doing that. I mean, Ishtar, Erisin Lechud and Ksuva Lechud, what do the two have to do with each other? That's number one. He also had this other strange practice there. Did you pick up on that one? That they used to sign the Ishtar, he would stick the one of the Eidei Kedushin would sign, and he would also sign as a Shliach for his fellow aide. So again, that's an issue in the Arzarua and you know the summary in the Hagos Ashri in Gittin discusses that question. Can you have shlichus on chasimas ha'edim? Right. So it seems so counterintuitive. Well, I mean, mostly we say no, but you know, even the idea seems like so absurd because somebody's John Hancock. I mean, they're the way that you identify them is precisely their signature, you know. So how could somebody sign when you care about a signature for someone else? Anyways, obviously, if you can't, you can't. You know, in the chadavah shibagufo, you know, gadol mizeh. But there's obviously important the way the Or Zeruah puts it is, you know, the argument would be like, you know. You have any Masira, you have any Chasima. You know? So, what's the difference? The answer is, because any Chasima, it's all about the Raya, and, you know, if it's the handwriting of Reuven, then it's not a Raya, you know, about the involvement of Shimon. Anyways, so Rashi has this idea also. So Rashi says, let's just, where does all this come from? But this idea that somehow there was like confusion or overlap between the Eidos and the Shtaros of Erisin and Ksuva, you know, can only make sense. Again, it's wrong, don't get me wrong, but sometimes you learn from things that are wrong too, right? The things that we reject. If you look at the Ksuva as not some extraneous protection or knas, but as something which enhances the Ishus, which it works nicely with another Rashi. Usa works Rashi nicely with Mario Marola Isha, as we discussed, but it works also well with the other Rashi. Rashi is purported to be the source for the reading of the Ksuva at the Chuppah, you know, between the Birchas Erisin and the Birchas Nisuin. At least Rabbeinu Tam, I thought I'd seen it inside somewhere in one of the Sifrei Rashi. I wasn't able to find it yesterday when I was looking again. It definitely is quoted as early as Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Meshulam in their exchange in Sefer Yashar in the Tshuvos quote this practice of Rashi. Rashi was no egg to read the Ksuva at the Chuppah. There are a number of Tshuvas of Rashi about integrating the Erisin and the Nisuin, you know, on one kos and one Birchas Bar Priya Gafen. And Dafka in those Tshuvas, you know, Man Dekarsha, there's nothing about the, you know, about being, you know, mafsik with the reading of the Ksuba. But it's reported, at least by Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Meshulam, that this was Rashi's practice. So again, our time is up for now. So we'll pick up this, what did we say, tomorrow 10? I want to speak about this point very quickly. Why would you do that? according to the different formulations. And then I want to go back to, we still have to finish up discussing the Rambam Shita on the Mishnah on Nundalanon base and so on. And then I want to try, if we can get it in already, you know, to speak very quickly about Sher Exclusive Ona, but again, just for a few minutes, about the Minyan and Mitzvos and the parallel to this. And then certainly by Thursday, I want to start getting into the, you know, the issue in the Mishnah and the question of Kavanah and Das and Kiddushin and the Nisuin. Okay, so we'll stop here.
So I have to talk.